He probably personally knew Fanny Crosby because his in-laws had a camp at Ocean Grove, New Jersey, where she wrote many of her songs. And they have, my mother's got a series of songbooks from there. It'll say, in this song, Fanny wrote the night that so-and-so preached this sermon, you know. And all right, turn with me, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 28. Mr. Luke, would you be so kind as to pray for this service?
Dear Father, thank you for his name. Thank you for the church. Pray for our pastor. Give him the words to speak. Open our ears so we take it, we use it in our lives. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. One of the things that we have going on in this church, and has to do with some of what Pastor Hain had to say, during the lunch hour, we have a number of young men with Dustin and different ones who kind of hang out by the stair on the porch. It's a good place for troubled young men to hang out. It just is, okay? And they horseplay. But there's rules to it. There's limits to it, okay? I watched Dustin take a little punk by the name of Taryn, putting him on the ground, all right? And, you know, but again, it's a horseplay within bounds, okay? With children who understand those bounds, it's a good place for kids to hang out there, okay? I have a trust in Dustin and Luke and different ones and Zane. It stays within those bounds, okay? So it is a good place for kids to hang out. We have, without any names being mentioned, there are two children in this church who are in danger. They just are. They're just in danger, okay? There are families losing control of them. And each one comes from a home where the father provokes them to wrath. Or the male figure in the house provokes them to wrath. Okay? Doesn't think anything. Cussing them. Call them stupid. Things of that sort. Just out of nowhere. Belittling them. That kind of thing. And it's a hard thing. You pray for the mamas and you pray for those kids. Okay? It's a very hard thing. Ezekiel chapter 28. Verse 1, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. And I said, I am a God, capital G, okay? I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There's no secret they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and thy traffic, as thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up. Why? Because of thy riches. Now, it'll become obvious as we read later, this is the devil. Okay? If all we had were these five verses, you could say, no, this was a prince of Tyrus. And he was the prince of Tyrus. Now, let me give you a rule for understanding your Bible. The major Bible cities on this earth have representatives in the heavens. This earth, just like Moses, make that tabernacle like the pattern I showed thee in the mount. Okay? There's a Jerusalem on the earth. There's a Jerusalem in heaven. There was a Tyrus on the earth when Satan ruled it. It was that one continent. That thing that stuck up above the water when the world was in the water and out of the water. Okay, the earth that then was. That continent was called Tyrus. That's why there were mariners. How did you get from one of these planets to the other? You went on the sea, all right? So his heart was lifted up. Now, later on, he's going to be called the cherub that covereth. Covered what? Well, one of the things you find, almost looked like my grandson, but mine wouldn't cry. Right? But, see, now there's a perfect grandchild back there. That's the way that Sam and Charity, you look at that one there, all right? right? All right. That's the way it's supposed to be done. All right. All right. But you'll find four cherubs that come and work together in the book of Ezekiel. There was a fifth. Those four surround the throne of God. Hey, Trevor, you ask these questions, you're going to be interested in this. You want to know this kind of thing. You ask these questions, so this will help you a lot to learn this, okay? So these four cherubs sit on the other side. What did the cherub that covered them? He sat above the throne of God. God put him there, okay? And by the way, he's called the anointed cherub. Oh, what's the word anointed in Greek? Christ. What's the word anointed in Hebrew? Messiah. Okay? God set himself. Okay? That's why today's called the Antichrist. He fell from that position, but he covets it. He wants it. Okay? He hates this man, Jesus Christ. So, the anointed cherub that covereth. I want you to go with me to Isaiah 14. You know, what cowboy hasn't laid out in the desert and stared up at the stars and wondered where everything comes from? You know, what two drunks haven't ever at one time sat at a bar stool and wondered where everything came from and talked about things in the Bible and such? I had a friend of mine one time, as I say, I preached with him for a while, and his parents had trained him in the Word of God, and he got managed to escape, became a drunk at one point. And he said one of the things that bothered him so much is he would be sitting at a bar, and people would start asking Bible questions, and he'd know the answers. He'd stand there and he'd be talking about, he'd say, this is what's really going on in Revelation. This is what's going on in Revelation. He told me later, he said, my parents booby-trapped me. All right? That sent me out of the world full of all these Bible verses, all right? And, you know, there's that verse that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's young, didn't say that. And when he's old, he'll not depart therefrom. Okay? And it's wonderful if one goes out of the house and doesn't depart. That's wonderful, okay? But to know that when they're climbing Fool's Mountain, that if they get to the top, the words of God are there. Yeah. I've had friends of mine got to the top of Fool's Mountain and there were no words like that. There was nothing from their past to tell them how to get out of that, okay? I thank God for words that I heard in my past that helped me off of Fool's Mountain, okay? Thank God for that. And I thank God for you parents for bringing your kids here, okay? And some of them are determined. At some point, we may be not till youth week or whatever, but I'm going to have some of these young men who just couldn't wait to get out from under their parents, from hated these things, sit there. Timothy used to be an expert at sitting there and concentrating on anything. And this is his testimony. Anything but the preaching. But looking at it so they wouldn't know. But you're just daydreaming anything but that preaching. Anything. We have some right now. You're perfected that, all right? You've got that down. You can manage to sit there and listen and not listen to a thing that's being said. Just stay in your own little dream world or whatever else. And they have testimonies of what it cost them. And they're awful testimonies. Awful testimonies. Because you know what everybody really wants? We want to be happy, don't we?
That's it.
Is everybody here who doesn't want to be happy? Like, Phil, I couldn't be happy. No, there's nobody like that. You want to be happy, all right? But the problem is you don't have a clue how to do it. And what you think will make you happy won't make you happy. It's interesting. When I was in the Philippines in the early 90s, I ran into a woman whose father was one of the first people ever converted by an American missionary in the Philippines. And it was a Methodist missionary, got off a boat. You know what he said to him? You want to know how to be happy? His father had been trained in the Jesuit seminary and was teaching in it. And be happy. And that Methodist began to explain to him how to really be happy. How to really be happy. He said, you know what? My dad found Jesus Christ. He lived a happy life, she said. You know, isn't that something? Because he went to an island, people full of oppression and misery. And said, hey, you want to be happy? Okay? Well, who doesn't? Okay? And the sad part is, the youth that are sitting there now, just wishing with all their heart that they didn't have to be here, want to be happy. That's what they really want to be happy, okay? And the sad part is, out of the 5 billion people, 10 billion that have gone before them, none have ever found happiness the way they're trying. Not a single one of them. Okay? It's bad batting average. Very bad batting average, all right? You know, every once in a while you see in a World Series where they'll put, you know, the American League, for example, pitchers don't have to hit. But then they'll play, you know, in a National League stadium during the World Series, and here's this pitcher that hasn't swung at a ball since college. And every once in a while you see where the guy gets a hit. And it's stunning, you know, on the other side, wow! You know, they just can't believe this guy got a hit. You know, and he's got like a .001 batting average and he gets it, all right? But they get the hit. Trying to be happy the way these guys want to be happy, the odds are a lot less. All right? They're not going to get a hit. They're not going to be happy. But you know what they're happy with? Their misery. Miserable. I'm so miserable. I'll go eat my own vomit. I'm so miserable. All right. Where does that come from? Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. What does Satan want to be worshipped as? God. You know, these kids paint half your head black, put a jag in here, go make a little incense to the devil. You're an idiot, kid. Go get little short pants on and have mommy hug you before you go to bed at night. You don't have a clue what the devil wants. Okay? The devil wants to be called Jesus. He wants a spot in your heart that you worship, okay? He wants that. And he wants to be lauded as that. And he wants to be glorified as that. He wants to be like the Most High God. He said that's his vow. I will be like the Most High God, okay? Go the similarities between the devil and God in the Bible are stunning. What's Jesus Christ ride on in Revelation 19? A white horse. What's the devil ride on in Revelation 6? A white horse. What's Jesus Christ? He's light. What's the devil? An angel of light. I mean, I can go on and on and on and on and on, okay? He'll be like the Most High God. But what did we learn in Ezekiel 28? What lifted him up originally? Oh, it didn't say his pride, but there was pride there. Ah, his riches. Now go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll find that pride, Tanya, and we'll deal with that pride. 1 Timothy 6, look at verse 10. In fact, look at verse 9. We'll get the old context. Let's bring it home first. 1 Timothy 6, look at verse 9. But they that will be rich. In other words, what is my will? My will is to be rich. But they that will be rich, okay, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Why? For the love of money, not money, for the love of money is the root of all evil. What did the Apostle Paul just point back to? He just pointed back to Ezekiel 28, didn't he? That was the root of all evil. What lifted up that anointed cherub? That one who sat there and said, I'm God, I'll sit in the seat of God, okay? Who ruled that continent and that earth, all right? Who was that? The devil. What caused him to fall up? His riches. So the Apostle Paul says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Once you realize that, the Apostle Paul will carry you through and explain that Bible to you, okay? Once you realize that, you'll get along a lot better. Now, go back with me to Ezekiel 28. And jump with me down to verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Why? Because the devil, like the Most High God, he also is more than one person. In the devil, you've got the false prophet, you've got the Antichrist, and you have the devil himself, Leviathan. You have all of them there, okay? And they function together just as God functioned as a trinity, all right? Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and saith unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Okay? That's why you know I'm not the Antichrist. All right? Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Okay? No doubt who we're talking about now. All right? Every precious stone was thy covering. Let's count them. The sardius, topaz, diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. And the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. What you have, and first let's back up a little bit. Now we're not going to turn there, but if you went in the book of Exodus, Exodus 28, you'll find the breastplate that the priest wore. It had 12 gems, all of them set in gold. Here we have 9 gems set in gold. He's a priest. He has a breastplate. Now, how did Israel divide their time? 30 days by that 12. What if you were to divide 360 by 9? What would the time periods be? 360 divided by 9, Tim, would you help us? Thank you. 40. Don't we see both time periods kept in the Bible? Don't we see 40-day periods of time and 30-day periods of time important in that Bible? Two different kingdoms. Okay? Two different kingdoms. Each one counted their times differently. All right? And that's why both of them are functioning at the same time there. Two different kingdoms. The devil there is that priest. He's the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Then it said, the workmanship of thy tabrets was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. He himself, what he is by nature, is a musical instrument. That's what he is. He's an organ. Okay? And again, what's one of the great ways that the devil destroys people? Music. Okay? All right? And the music makes your body move. You know? All right. All right, a little 70s for you, all right? But again, I can get into the P-Funk if you want, but we won't do that. All right. Music is something that God uses, but it's also something the devil uses. Those of you who have visited places that I used to call cherished places down south have been completely destroyed by the music. They play rock and roll now as Bible music. Okay? And I'm not talking about the neo-evangelicals. I'm talking about fundamental King James Bible-believing men who stand up there and they'll usually use the bass guitar as a lead. Boom, 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 boom. And that music, and then that honky-tonk piano will get playing. And they'll get it going, and it'll get a rocket in there, and they'll be singing, and by his blood, I've come to the conclusion, okay, that if I were to shave half my head, tattoo a dragon here, all right, and come out, wearing a bikini and had a guitar, but if I said old-fashioned Jesus in the blood, the Baptists would love me. All right? They would ignore everything else if I said those words. All right? Yeah. And I'm stunned sometimes when I've sat in some of those places that were hallowed to me at one time. And I'm stunned at what the music has done. A good friend of Brother McVeigh's took over one of those ministries. And he was burdened for him in prayer. Wanted to reach out to him. He said, I thought I'll watch their latest service. And he turned on YouTube, and the Spirit of God just said, turn it off. You're not going to even touch these people. They're just caught up in that, okay? And it's just a grievous thing. But there's where you find that.
like tabrets were prepared in me. Okay, get in there with that music.
Peter Ruckman had a thing where he'd take farm boys off the street that didn't know anything about music. To them, you know, classical music was Hank Williams, all right? And, you know, that was the classics to them. But he'd take them in there and he'd put music on. And he would say, what emotion does that trigger in you? Well, that was Mozart. Okay? What emotion did that trigger in you? And he said, actually, it didn't trigger any emotion in you. It was melody for the sake of melody. It did not impose an emotion upon you. And he said there was only one time in history that men were able to do that. Mozart, Handel, and early Schubert. Okay? And he said this. He said they're the only three men who ever could do it. And they did it about the time of the Renaissance, and men woke up and were translating their Bibles. And he said then the body came into it. Emotion came into it. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, boom, boom. Emotion came. And if you go back and study history, when that emotion came in, orgies broke out all over Europe. Go study history. About that same time, all over Europe. Okay? One woman said this, or actually it was a nobleman in the court of Charles II. He said, nowadays a man's considered fortunate if the children in his home are his own. Okay? And in the 1600s. And then Wagner came in, and Brahms, the waltz, and the boom, 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 the body came into it, okay? And they no longer could play music, it was just pure emotion. They moved to the body. And then eventually, they got into the satanic stuff coming up out of New Orleans and running up and, you know, where you had jazz and everybody moving and getting everything going, and it's sex music, okay? It's sex music. And it's to get that part of you going and that kind of thing going and such. And the devil has used that, and the churches now are infiltrated with it. Absolutely infiltrated with it. But it was fascinating because after one class, Peter Ruckman could play music for these farm boys, and they could tell you what period it was from. All right? They can tell you. Just by him giving those little rules, is it pure emotion? Is it without emotion? Where it's pure thought? Or is it body movement? Okay? Which is it here? Now going on a little bit more here. Back in Ezekiel chapter 28. Verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You know, we talk about the fires of hell, but you ought to study sometimes the fires of heaven. Because there are fires in heaven. They're holy. Our God is a consuming fire. Okay? You know what the sad part about hell? Is it's the holiness of God. The holiness of God. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. God will make the universe clean. One way or another, you're going to be clean through eternity. One way or another, you won't defile anything anymore. One way or another, your stupidity, your uncleanness, your vileness, your bitterness, your hatred, your uncleanness, you won't defile anything anymore. You'll be holy. One time that devil walked in the up and down before God in the fire of God. But in his heart, he was music. You know, people wonder at the power of the devil, but do you realize that from this position, he convinced at least one-third of the angels that I can make every electron and every star work without him? I can make the leaves fall in the Canadian wilderness. I can make the salmon run up the rivers without him. Do you think the angels are stupid? No. They looked at him and said, you know what? We think he can do it. You want to talk about power? Okay? This idea, a lot of fundamentalists don't want the devil to be that powerful because they don't have a God big enough to whoop him. Mm-hmm. All right? Well, you just stop and think who this being is. It says in verse 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Iniquity is lawlessness. Sin is the nature of man. Sins are the fruit of that nature. Iniquity is something that will not be brought under any law. Iniquity. I'm just going to do what I want to do. Iniquity. Okay? And here he stood before God, and one day God, looking at him, who can read the hearts of all men, saw lawlessness in that heart. A place where nothing's going to control me. I've known so many people. Nobody can tell me what to do. And you look at their lives years later and realize you're right. Nobody could they?
Yeah.
Nobody could. Look at the mess you're in. Nobody could tell you what to do. Nobody could. Remember the time, Tanya, when you girls came out of here, you're down in the ladies' class, and you all asked me and said, what is this thing, forsake not the law of thy mother? Because most of those women had mothers that were horrible people. I said, forsake not the law of thy mother. And I asked them this. I said, if your mother was drowning in quicksand right now and said, don't come here, would you mock and say, ha, 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 what a hypocrite, I'll go walk in quicksand? No, you wouldn't. And I don't care how horrible your parents were, I'll bet you there's things they told you. I'll bet you the things they told you, that if you had done what they said, and you'll quit calling them a hypocrite because they didn't have the power to do what they told you, okay? But if you'd done what they told you, your life wouldn't be the mess it is now, okay? Some of those girls cried then too. Had tears. I love that, okay? Had tears. Nobody can tell me what to do to that day that iniquity was found in me, okay? In this church are people, okay? God sees iniquity. They sit there and there's places they don't intend to let anything run that part of them. They don't intend to ever let the God of Israel have control of that. They have no such intention anywhere, and God calls that iniquity. Okay? Verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Now look at verse 17. This goes with what Tanya had said earlier. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, and thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Where did he get his brightness from? Where did that brightness come from? It came from God. He's carrying the light of God. And his heart got lifted up by carrying the light of God. Pastor, how many men of God have you seen that happen to? How many times have we wrestled with that ourselves? Get in there and you preach one of these messages and everyone, oh, what a great message. Oh, my goodness. Okay? Let me tell you something. You're not ready for the ministry if that stuff touches your head.
Yeah.
You're not ready for the ministry. The Apostle Paul said, not a novice. Why? Lest he be lifted up in the condemnation of the devil. There it is right there. You're like two times the Apostle Paul wrote that I know of that he's coming straight out of Ezekiel 28 warning the church. Straight out of here warning the church. You better pay attention to what that says, okay? We have no idea how long that kingdom lasted where that priest sat on that island and all those other principalities and powers. There's principalities and powers in heavenly places. It says so, doesn't it? Okay? Doesn't the Bible say that? What's a principality, a place run by prince? They're all cut off from the earth now. And the Apostle Paul said we war against them. Okay, and that's what's going on. And they're warring against you. All right, all that's going on. You know, Clarence Larkin has a tremendous note. And I'm not a big Clarence Larkin fan. But he has a great note about Genesis 1. He said when God made the firmament, he did not call it good. Why? The prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. How many children of disobedience live on the earth today? Well, there's about 8 billion people. You think a billion are saved? I don't think so. So there are at least 7 billion people right now that right now, instantly, he can know what each one of them is doing. He's working on them. He's working on them. Now, when I was taught, it makes no sense whatsoever. That's why I'm so glad that Bill Randall straightened this out for me. I was taught, well, he does it out of hierarchies. You know, one devil will be in charge of 20 people, and he'll get on beat to this one. Go do the math on that sometime. Sit down and make a chart on that. And you'll find out why the Catholics had these big hierarchies of angels and devils. And they had to learn them all, okay? There's no such thing. He's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Do you realize if the devil gave you, every person on earth, 1 second of his time, okay? How many seconds in a year? All right? 1 billion seconds is about 30 years. I've had over a second of the devil's time. I don't know about you. I've had over a second of it. All right? He now works. What? He's that cherub that covereth. He said he'd set himself like the heart of God. Okay? That's how powerful he is. That's what's out there. And that's what the world calls God. Okay? That's what the world calls God. Some places, even in China, they just openly worship him as the serpent. Openly. Quarter of the people on the earth, openly. All right? That isn't how he wants to be worshipped. He wants to be worshipped as God. Okay? He wants to be worshipped that way. By the way, go with me to Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. When was that? What's Jeremiah seeing? Okay? It's without form and void. Boy, you guys really need to take lessons from Dan and Jeff. That's all there is to it, all right? All right? All right. So I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. Now let me ask you, if the heavens had no light, is God in the heavens? No. Darkness. What? Prince of the power of the air. The heavens had no light, okay? I beheld the earth, and it was without form and void. He's about to tell you something here and add to something from the book of Genesis. Why? Because he's warning Israel. You think you're the people of God now? You think because God has set you up? Think because God's given you a priesthood? Think because God's given you a temple? Think because God's given you a city? Think God's given you promises that he can't destroy you? I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. Okay? I beheld it. Then what's he say? And the heavens, they had no light. And I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. What? They're underwater. Okay? They're losing their shape. And I beheld, lo, there was no man, and the birds of the heavens were fled. What else? That's devils. And I beheld, lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and of his fierce anger. What cities? The devil's city. What angelic kingdom? Angels. Okay? Angels. How long did they rule? We have no idea. What were the beasts like there? We probably have some hints in the fossil record, okay? But they're probably not the kind of pets you have today. That's one of the problems people have when you get in. Let me tell you something. I saw, there's a quote by Adrian Rogers right now out on Facebook. A few people have copied it. I thought it was a wonderful quote. He says, you know, when a scientist agrees with God, I don't think more of God. I think more of the scientist. That's a great statement, isn't it? All right? You know, when a scientist agrees with God. And the thing is, we have all sorts of scientists who believe that, you know, one cell became two, became eight, became 20, became an aardvark, a platypus, an elephant, man. You know, there's a lot. I understand there's a lot of people who believe that, okay? I read a thing one time by the top, you know, we have guys today who, you know, get on TV and explain things to the children and everything. The guy who was the top guy for that in the 70s and 80s in England made this statement. He said, the reason we believe in evolution over creation, it says, is because the opposite of evolution is just too awful for us to even think about. Okay? It's just too awful.
okay? That's the reason we don't think about it, all right? You know, this idea that I'm not accountable to any God anywhere. I can do whatever I want. And so it's wonderful when you meet a man who understands, he's a man of science, and realizes that God made everything. I love that. But then they need to believe a King James Bible. You'd be amazed how few of them do. So they try to jam everything into some little 7-day period of time. Yes, the earth we're on now was created in 6 days. Yes, from Genesis 1:1 through 6 days. Okay? But that's not the beginning of the earth ever was. Okay? It's found underwater at the beginning of the first day. Okay? Found underwater. And now we learn there's cities broken down on it. And now we learn that a devil used to rule from it. Okay? And now we learn he's fled into the air and he's the prince of the power of the air. And we learn he lusts to be with God, to be as God. And you know what? You know what God did then? And that's why that statement Jesus Christ makes. They tell your disciples to be quiet. They were quiet, even the rocks and stones would sing out. Okay? Even the rocks and stones would sing out. And he said, God can take these stones and he can make children to Abraham. He doesn't need you. For the devil, he remembers when God reached down into that earth. Out of the very dust that he used to walk on, he made a man. And he remembers when God gave that man dominion over the fowl of the air, over the fish of the sea. Okay? He remembers that. He thought, that thing is going to rule. That thing is going to rule. That thing is going to have the dominion. And he came down with a gospel of doubt based on a tree. Yea, as God said. Gospel of doubt based on a tree. Okay? And he converted the man and made him a son of the devil. The man's nature changed. The man died. He became separate from God. We have a God who said, turnabout is fair play. You want to take my children and make them into yours? I'll take your children and make them into mine. But I'll do it with the gospel of faith off a tree. Okay? That's what I'm going to do. This Bible, if God ever gives you the grace to believe it, okay, to believe it, and no longer affected, but Dr. Doodledigger thinks this, okay? And Dr. Doodledigger might have graduated from Poo Purdue Christian University, all right? And he might be the great poobah of all the great fundamentalists right now. But if he doesn't believe what a King James Bible says in its context, he's doing hell's work in that particular field. Okay? And let me tell you something. I don't care who you are. You can do hell's work in a particular field.
Yeah.
Okay? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a wonderful statement, Peter. The next words out of his mouth were the devil. Get thee behind me, Satan. The very next words out of Peter's mouth. Okay? Don't you think that somehow because Pastor Hayne or I come up here and we preach and we get things and God moves on your heart that there's not other things that the devil isn't trying to use us to mess you up. Right? That's why we tell you, believe the Bible. Okay? Learn this Bible. Judge what we say by the word of God. Judge it by that. Go into it from that. Learn that. Put this into your life. Okay? And God forbid that I lead any of you astray. God forbid that I do that. Okay? God forbid. I'd like to think that in all the nonsense of my life and all the errors and mistakes that God's purged so many of those things that I can get up here in front of you. But there's not a day that I don't walk through this church and me and God don't have to discuss the grace of God that I should be able to walk through this church.
Amen.
There's not a time when God doesn't take me back and show me folly in my life and absolute uncleanness and grievousness. And what a wonder and a marvel that God should ever choose to use me as a vessel.
That's right.
But you need to understand there's a war. It's a war between God and the devil. In the hands of God, you'll work fine.
and he'll protect you. You step out of God's will, that's exactly where the devil wants you. Mm-hmm. Exactly where he wants you. Thank you, Zane. Time for Pastor Hayne to come up. I told him, have someone call you at that moment, and he did.